Good morning. My name is Brad. I'm the family and youth minister here at Watermark. It's great to see you all here this morning. Tim and Don are away, enjoying some time with family and getting some much-needed rest and renewal. Just ask that you continue to pray for them, keep them in your prayers, that this time away would be a great time with family and that they would have safe travels. Today is our missions trip presentation Sunday, so thank you for joining us. We'll hear from the missions trip team here in a little bit, but I just wanted to come up and share a brief devotion with you this morning before that. So about 10 or 12 years ago, I began to learn how to play golf. The vice president of the company that I worked for invited me to join him and two other managers to go out and play a golf tournament. I politely informed him that you do realize I have no idea how to swing a golf club and never played the game of golf, but enjoyed the opportunity to join them. But one of the other managers, who was a very well-seasoned golfer, he was very good at it, offered to help me out, offered to teach me how to swing, play the game of golf. And it did take a lot of work, but eventually I did start hitting the ball in a somewhat forward direction. But over time, eventually he suggested that we go out in the golf course, start getting comfortable playing out in the golf course. I told him, no, I am absolutely nowhere near ready for that. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, that is one of the ways that you get better, is by playing out in the course and going through some rounds. And over the years, I have gotten a little better. But something else happened too. As Todd and I worked together and we golfed together, I gained a really good friend. One that went beyond the golf course into, or even beyond colleagues. He became a very good friend. So how does this golf game, or my golf game, relate to Mission Sunday? Well, just bear with me a minute here. I began to gain the knowledge of what a correct swing looked like, or what it was, by watching a bunch of how-to YouTube videos on how to swing a golf club. They did help to a point. And then as Todd and I met on the driving range, there was a lot of teaching, watching, learning, and so on, just learning the basics. But one thing became very clear to me. I was eventually going to have to swing the golf clubs. I was eventually going to have to go out in the course and play. Stepping into our calling and the mission field that God wants us in is a process, one that happens over time. There is the watching the how-to videos and the range time. As we watch others, we learn through Bible studies, church services, life groups, youth groups, you name it, all necessary and great things. But God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to eventually step out onto the course, our mission field. You know, whether that's an overseas missionary in some land overseas, or domestic or international missions trip, going on a trip, just like we're going to hear from our Bellefonte missions trip team, the trip that they took. Maybe our mission field is at our place of employment. Maybe it's at home or in the classroom. Maybe it's a ministry here within the Watermark Church, or if you're visiting, maybe it's in your home church, where you attend church regularly. Wherever that is, God is asking us to faithfully step into where it is that he's leading us. You know, the first time I stepped out in the course to play my first round of golf, it really, really was not a pretty sight. You know, I think I spent more time looking for my ball than I did hitting it. Uncle Mike was here the first service, and he told me, he said, you know, you could tell him that you did hit a 65 on your first round of golf, but then you got to the second hole. How true is that? Maybe not quite that bad. But over time, I did end up getting better. The playing out on the course did help me get better at fine-tuning those rough edges that were identified by playing, those rough edges in my swing. But not that my swing is anywhere near perfect now. But stepping out in faith where God is calling us is an important element in our faith journey. Stepping out on the course, we grow in areas of our faith that we necessarily wouldn't grow if we stayed where we're at, stayed where we're comfortable. In other words, we grow as we go. The first time that we share our testimony or have that gospel conversation with somebody may not go quite as well as we hope, but over time, the more that we do it, the better that we get at it. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we read of the account where Jesus calls his first disciples, and he says this: "While walking in the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." Simon, Andrew, James, Zebedee, all fishermen. They were not seminary graduates from a seminary college or seasoned theologians or experienced evangelists. They were fishermen. And Jesus calls them to join him in his mission, in his ministry, and follow him. Notice that it says that they immediately left what they were doing and followed Jesus. They didn't wait until they felt mature in their faith or watched all the how-to YouTube videos that they could find to step into what Jesus was calling them. They left and trusted that Jesus would give them exactly what they needed when they needed it. And it reminds me of a saying that I came across a couple years back from an unknown author. He said, "Jesus doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called." Jesus would spend 3 years in his earthly ministry with his disciples, following him and learning from him. They'd learn because they spent time together. And in doing so, their relationship together became stronger. You know, Todd could only teach me how to swing the golf club by showing me himself. He couldn't phone it in, couldn't email me, couldn't text me. We had to spend time together. And what happened in the process that while we were doing that and I was learning, my relationship with Todd grew stronger. And I gained a great friend. You know, I'm not saying that Jesus is calling us all to quit our jobs, leave our families, but he is calling us to something. First and foremost, he's calling us to him. He's calling us into a relationship with him, to become one of his disciples. And secondly, to be a disciple maker, to spread the good news of Jesus in the mission field that he's calling you to. And we can trust that he will give us everything that we need to step into that. You know, before Jesus ascended into heaven and left the disciples, he commissioned them. And this commission is one that not only applies to those that were with him back in that day, but also to every disciple, all disciples of all time. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we read this commission. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." After months of working with Todd, my golf game still mediocre, and honestly, 3 years later with Jesus, the disciples still didn't have it all figured out either. They didn't have it all together. But look at what Jesus tells them after he commissions them to go. He says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus does not give them this directive or this commission and then leave them to their own devices. He tells them that he is going to go with them, that when they go out, they do not go alone. He says, "I will always be there with you." Now, as disciples of Christ, when we go, we don't go alone either. Jesus is always with us. And in that, we can find comfort and security, confidence and peace. You know, maybe this morning we're here and we've been standing on that driving range for a while. We've been faithfully coming to church, attending Bible studies, taking notes. We've learned and we've grown, but somewhere along the way, that feeling of inadequacy has crept in. And we tell ourselves that we're not ready to step into what Jesus is calling us to, into our mission field. The truth is, we may actually never feel ready. You know, if you go through Scripture and you read about Moses and Gideon, Jeremiah and Isaiah, they did not feel ready. Even the Apostle Paul talked about and admitted to his weaknesses. Yet even among their feelings of not being ready and their weaknesses, God used every single one of them. Not because they were qualified, but because they were willing. The God who called them is the very same God that is calling us today. The same Holy Spirit that empowered them lives inside every single Christ follower today. The question isn't whether God has a mission or whether or not he is calling people, because he does and he is. The question is, are we willing to step onto the course? Are we willing to have that conversation with someone that God is putting in our circle of influence? Are we willing to serve where he is leading us, share our story, trust that he's going to give us everything that we need to be able to go out and swing the clubs? You know, we don't become ready by waiting. We become ready by walking with him. And every time we step out in faith, we discover that not only does he go with us, but we find that he was already there waiting for us. You know, as the mission team gets ready to come up and share, I challenge us all to think about and pray about, where is it that God is leading you? Where is it that God is calling us into our mission field? And again, that may look widely different across the board, but he is calling us somewhere. He is placing us in the presence of people for a reason. As the Lord reveals these things to us, may our response echo the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8, where he says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your blessings. And Father, we know that you are calling each of us to yourself, to be a part of your mission, to join you. Father, as we reflect on that, and Father, as the mission team comes up and presents their trip, we just ask that you provide clarity and wisdom and guidance into where it is that you're calling us. Father, give us the confidence and the peace to be willing to faithfully step out in that and trust that you are going to provide everything that we need when we need it. Help us lean in and press into you more, Father. Be with us this week as we go, and just be with the missions team as they present, Father, and show the work that you did through them in North Carolina. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's watch a video that they, a presentation that they put together for us.
Morning, all. Members of the mission team, come on up here. First off, I think Sarah, I didn't get to mention at the end of it, Sarah put the video together, did a great job. That only showed just parts of the dirtiness that we had all week long. I think I've never got so dirty in my life. I never ate so much in my life either on a mission trip. It was probably the best we've ever had. God really supplied for us the needs we had financially and everything on top of that as well. So, first of all, I want to thank the church, thank our leadership. Gretchen's always huge for me. Gretchen does all the financial stuff behind the scenes. So she keeps me in line, keeping things together, getting insurance and stuff ready for us to go. So I didn't get to mention her earlier, but I wanted to make sure that she knew that. I would thank her as well. As Brad said before, Isaiah 6:8 is a one of my favorite verses. So, you know, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. His call for me to serve in ministry almost 20 years ago never was on my radar. Never was any thought in my mind to be part of men's ministry, youth, do fellowship Christian athletes at Bald Eagle, and missions. And being a deacon as well right now, it's God's really blessed me in so many ways. Not realizing the path for my life was not about me and the things that I do for myself or my family, but for serving him. So really thankful for that. So for us, the journey for us in missions here started almost 20 years ago. Our first mission trip was to York, Pennsylvania. Anybody in here that was with us at York, can raise your hand? Darlene, you were one of those? Yep, Greg. So way back, has 3-day mission trip away. We had 6 of our kids actually had accepted Christ that weekend, and 2 were my daughters. I got to baptize my daughters. It was really awesome for a way to start out. So God really blessed me that way too. Since then, we've been in West Virginia, in the Appalachia area, Pittsburgh area, Newcastle, New York, Cincinnati, even here at home. We did a few here at home for a few years. All these trips and all these places had the same theme, though, behind all those was here I am, or him, here am I, send me, in Isaiah 6:8. So missions for us always been about serving Christ, first and foremost, and serving him alone. Anybody else in here who has done missions with us over the year, raise your hand. And it's cool because a couple of our youth that have been here for, like, awesome. It's cool to see them. Like, it's just God has used so many people within this congregation to do that as well. But everywhere we prepare, we try to prepare as a family of Christ. Being that we're now Bellefonte Missions Team, we have 3 different churches together. It's been such a blessing the last 2 years to see everybody grow, not just in faith, but in friendships, fellowship over the years. We even do fundraising together, do all those things, and we do it for the same purpose. This year's theme was serve with the hands and feet of Christ, fruit of the Spirit. I really struggled with that before we left. I really was like praying that God would give me an opportunity to do it better, and it worked out really well. We didn't have much of that last year at all, but it definitely was fruitful for us as well. During the past 2 years in Marshall and Rawlins, North Carolina, we became really close and dear to them down there. It really touched our hearts, the stories we heard last year. Rachel Bennett runs the Alliance there in Marshall, and she's amazing. The things she's done since day 3 after the flood is simply remarkable, and God is using her in so many ways. But it's amazing how it was a generational flood down there. They just celebrated like 4 months before that, 100 years since the last flood, and the flood came. So he's going from, you know, going that far to seeing the devastation that happened afterwards. There are still probably 6 or 8 big buildings in town that are still boarded up. Their Chamber of Commerce is still only half, you know, used. There are businesses in town that still aren't being touched. The places we were in, there's 62, is actually was a flower shop, herbal shop, is a art studios in there, and until about 3 months before we came there, they finally were able to muck that out. So 20 months out, it was still full of mud, debris, and they're trying to do a lot of on their own. There's only so much that the state has been able to do. FEMA didn't do a whole lot for them, but they really count on people like us to come down and serve and help them get back to normal. Yes, with the with Zion and we're planning to go again next year. We already have some dates we're looking at. Again, before any time we go on a trip, we unite as a family. So we spend a few months beforehand. We plan this for about 6 months ahead of time. And we try to unite as a family. So we get to know each other ahead of time. We spend time in devotion even then. And that way God collectively grows us in Christ when we get there. Okay? I want you to see, like, not everybody has the same passion and feel the same way about going on a mission trip, right? So, like, I've been doing missions for a long time. I look forward to giving a year of my life, a week of my life every year. And I'd like to do more as more. We can do it locally as well, to give that to God. God has given me so much over the years. It's amazing what he can do with you, and it really changes you when you go away. And so, as I told members of our team here over the past 2 years, they say, I'm not sure if I should go. I'm not sure God can use me for anything. I'm not sure I could do anything when I'm there. And what I was telling them is, if you've chosen to go, God has planned for you to be there for whatever purpose he has for you. So he's given you a skill set. He has given you a set of gifts that you can use. That might be praying with someone. That might be sitting and just talking with someone. It may be whatever skill set you have. You're a plumber, electrician, a carpenter, or none of the above, right? So those are things that weren't very much of my gifts at all over the years as well. But he will use you for something. And if you feel like you can't go away and take the time away, you can serve right here at home. We're trying to get off the ground a little more to the Servants of Christ in Action through our church here and with the other 2 combined churches. We need your help. There are people in this congregation, there are people outside this congregation that need help. There's a handful of us that are doing it right now. If you have any of those skill sets or just want to help clean a house or pick up debris in the yard or whatever, people need your help here. So we're asking you as well to think about that. So we're considering serving people here, but also consider coming with us. If you've never been on a trip and you're afraid, don't be afraid. God's going to use you for something. He will find the funds for you. We were fortunate this year to be able to, we didn't go with the missions group, with the experience mission last year. Didn't work out very well for us because we have done missions for several years. God provided whatever we needed. It took some time. Steve did some great work, finding some stuff at Marshall University. God uses everybody for different things, right? So, but he really provided for us as we needed there. So, but thanks again for supporting us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for the financial support as well, anyway. And we're thankful that God blessed us these opportunities. And let these guys go ahead and share. Start down here at the end. Here. Thank
you. So I'll piggyback on what Scott said. You know, I wasn't sure about going and what skill set I would have, and he gave me his line, you know. Yeah, you know, if you're being called, you should go. And I'm like, eh. So the night Sunday night comes, and he told us we'll have choices of where we go. And I thought, he told me praying with somebody, you know, things I can do. Well, he gives us two choices, to dig a trench or to demo. And I'm like, well, I don't think I could do either of those, but put me where you want me. And it's just amazing what he said. God will use you. God will stretch you. It is totally out of your comfort zone at times, but it's amazing how he works through you. So if it is on your heart to go next year or even to do the local missions, just really trust God because he will put you where you need to be and to interact with the people that might need something from you that you don't even know you have to give. So that's what I walked away with.
Okay, I had no idea what I was going to say this morning. I never gave it much thought. And when I went to bed last night, I asked the Lord to supply me with some words. And I'm going to leave it up to Jens to if he gave me too many or not. The first thing is the camaraderie that the 25 of us had. And I, in particularly from, there was two guys from the Wingate Church, Paul and Russ. Russ and me always seemed to be in the same area, so we talked quite a bit. And from our church, Austin and Todd. Todd gave me hints on some things that I had no idea what I was doing. And also, by the end of the time that we were there, all of us found out one thing, how much ice cream someone could eat. Now, as far as the youth were concerned, those people, or those youth, they stepped up and they took the dirty, hard jobs and no complaints. And if that's a sign of what we have coming forward, that's a very good sign. The next thing is, there was seven of us on our way to lunch. We ran into a person coming down the street, and we stood there for a while, and we were talking, and he asked where we were from, and we told him from Central Pennsylvania. And we were there for the relief mission with Rachel. And he said he was a believer. He gave his tithe to the church, and he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a 50. And he wants to give it to us. And we told him, just keep it, give it to Rachel. And he said, no, I want Junes to have that, for giving your time and coming down here. So he gave it to the one lady standing there, and he said, you make sure you do not give that to Rachel. That is for Jens to spend. And I couldn't believe someone from that community was giving us money. The last thing is to talk about Rachel Bennett. She is the person that runs Marshall Relief. there's two sides of the river there. There's the Marshall side and there's the other side. Well, Rachel came from the other side. When Alina went through there, she came over to help with the relief. And her parents really didn't care for that. So when it was pretty much, you know, after a year or so, I take it that she was going to go back over. Well, her sister came over and told her, you can't. Marshall depends on you too much. Also, at first, she was going with one person, and when we were there, she was going with a different person. Now, Rachel was a non-believer, and this new person she was going with is a believer. And to me, that says a lot about what the Lord has in store for everybody. Thank you.
Hello. This was my first year of the missions trip. I had fun. I hanged out with new people. Where we worked, it was very hot out. It rained sometimes, though, like sprinkled. It felt nice, but it was heartbreaking what they went through throughout, I think, was it a year? 2 years of the flood. So even though it was my first year, I like coming down, seeing Bridget. That's all. Oh, wait, I lost my sandals. So we were going down to the showers. I was going to take them off, and for some reason one fell into like the creek, like under the bridge.
So, I didn't know we were speaking up here today, so. This was not my first missions trip, but this was my first missions trip going, like, beyond 4 hours. So, I was extremely nervous, and originally I wasn't going to go, because, obviously, I love everyone here, but there was no one my age. And I was going, well, my brother will be there, but I need another girl there. And my friend from school, who I had gotten really close with this year, managed to go along. So I said, you know what, we'll go. Well, then I'm signing up, and I see, can you carve? No. Can you plumb? No. Can you do electrical? No. So I was just so worried that there would be nothing for me to do. And going on the trip, whether it was scooping out mud in a Tyvek with a respirator, or scraping bricks one by one, I saw that you can honor God through anything you do. And while I may not have been cutting trees, I made an impact. And that trip made an impact on me too. It showed me how blessed I am to live where I'm at and to be surrounded by such a wonderful group of people that I can call my family. I got to talk to a lot of older people who gave me some insight, whether that was about the trip, or just about school, or about college. And it really made an impact, and I'm really glad I went. And I'm looking forward to next year, and the ice cream, because there was an ice cream machine in the dining hall, so.
We go down there to try to bless the people of North Carolina, but we are equally or more blessed by them. Believe it or not, they remembered many of us from last year, and no matter where we went, they thanked us and showed they're very grateful for what we've been able to do to help them. This year, we added devotions, which we didn't have last year, which was a really nice blessing for us. We got to really focus on love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, things that God shows us every day and things that he wants us to exemplify for him as well. I felt like Brad when he was talking about his inability to golf, because as Bridget just said, they asked if we could do all these things, and I wasn't capable of doing any of them, and so I wasn't sure what I was going to do. But instead of watching YouTube videos, I had a nice group of men with me who taught me how to use power tools and do things and mentored me and believed in me, which helped me believe in myself. So shows that if you believe in yourself, God always believes in you and puts you where you are and teaches you things. So I got to do really cool things like demolish a toilet, take down drywall, snap drywall lines, things I've never done. So it was a really fun experience. And the last thing is I just want to reiterate how amazing this youth is. If you have any concerns about our future, if you put the youth that went with us in charge, they will do great things for this country. They have such an amazing work ethic. I got to use the drill, and poor Bridget and Heidi were on their hands and knees with a crowbar and hammer beating out the screws. So it's just amazing. And when we were at the beginning of the week and Devo said, who would like to lead devotionals each morning, all these youth hands went up. And they did such a great job leading devotionals for us every morning.
Thank you. That's my granddaughter, Serenity. You're crying already. I'll cry too, so excuse me for that. But she gave me permission to explain this to you. Missions trips are always exciting because you get to travel, and I love to travel. You get to meet new people and do something worthwhile for God and work with an amazing team that we had. Soon into the week, though, I realized my physical limitations and became aware of all the stuff I couldn't do. Everyone, especially the young people, were working hard and getting things done, except me. We have amazing teens. I just want to reiterate that they're a wonderful group. I developed a woe is me attitude. I wondered, what in the world am I doing here? Not being able to contribute as much as I wanted. And that was a real struggle for me. It was a blessing having Serenity go along with us this year. She met a new friend, Tegan. And she was from the Zion Church. And she was there with her dad, Brandon. Serenity's dad was an abusive father, and I always worried she wouldn't be able to fully understand what it was like to have God as a loving heavenly father. She has a beautiful way about her. She just blurts out whatever's on her heart and what's on her mind. So when I was standing up here, I was kind of worried what she'd say. Thursday, we were gathered together waiting for our evening devotions to start. And Serenity looked at Brandon. And she looked at me. And she paused. And I knew she was going to say something, like she always does. And she said, he's a good daddy. Well, my heart just melted. Every time I think about it, it melts. But I knew why we had gone on this year's missions trip. I had the opportunity to explain to Serenity that the relationship Tegan and her dad had together was a reflection of our relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, who loves and cares for us. The trip was never about me, what I could do or what I couldn't do. In my case, it was about him and what he was doing. We just have to be willing to be his hands and his feet in whatever capacity that may look like. What a privilege and honor to work alongside our good daddy as a family of brothers and sisters with the same heart and mission.
For the record, a root beer float does not count as an ice cream dessert. It's a beverage. So I had to make that clear to everybody. This was my second year down in Marshall, and it was neat to see people recognize you. Come up, Rachel, I was the first one around the corner. She came running up and gave me a big hug and said, glad you guys are back. Marshall is 1 mile long and one street wide. That's it. On one side is the mountain, on the other side is the river. I struggled with the fact that Marshall will flood again. It's not a question of will or not, they will flood again. And people will be back there helping them recover again. I looked across the street, Don and I were taking a break. I looked across the street, the main street there in town, and there was a hill street that goes right up the mountainside. And it was pouring down rain. The storm sewer across the road was blocked. No water was going in it. It was all coming down in the main street, and there was already about 6 inches of water standing there. Drove me crazy. Any of you that know me, I want to get stuff done. And as soon as the rain stopped, I got a shovel and I cleared that off so that the rain would drain down there. We worked in this building one point I went down to see how the youth were doing in the basement, and I could hear water dripping. And I thought, there's water coming into this basement from somewhere. Well, I found out where. The downspout from the building was draining into the window well of that building, and all the water was coming off the roof and going into the basement. Maybe that makes the mud easier to shovel out. I don't know. But I said to the woman there, you know, if you go to Lowe's and get an elbow and a short piece of downspout, that water will go across the parking lot and not into your basement. And she said, well, that might be a good idea. So it's an up and down thing. It's a, boy, there's so much that needs to be done. But then you realize these people have been living this for 2 years. Living out of trailers, living with no, I mean, the building we were in had no plumbing, no air conditioning, sometimes no windows, no bathroom, you know, so they've gone through a lot. You just have to remember, we're there to be the hands and feet of Christ. That's it. Just to show them what can be done when a group of people come together to serve the Lord and help their brothers. That's it. So it was a great trip. And your youth did awesome, really awesome. So, thank you.
I just want to say one quick thing because Tammy here is putting herself down, but in case you don't know her, she's an utter ray of sunshine. And everywhere we went, Tammy made a new friend and taught them about God.
To give a hand to the guys that aren't here that dug the trench at the house. And Todd talked about that. Like 20 months, lady lived in it, her own camper. Their entire family went inside of Rollins. There's 29 houses. They lost 28 of the 29 when the flood hit. So they ought to put these shed houses in where they were part living area, part bedroom area, and like a mud room in between so they were allowed to put a dwelling there. So the guys, when they finished all her stuff up for the week, Code had to come in at the end of the week, and they approved her to get into her house for the first time in 20 months. She wasn't living in a trailer or in a camper. So there's still people there living in campers, trailers, whatever, but they let her turn the switch on for her electricity, and they realized all week of the hard work of trenching what that meant. So Austin Worrell that came was actually on leave from the military, so he's been down by the border. He's coming back like in January, I think. He took half his leave to come in and actually serve. So I give him a big hand for doing that. I felt proud for his mom as he gets to spend time with his mom as much as she could have. But that just shows the testimony of where God is working in his life as well. So I'll go ahead and pray us out here. We'll be all done for today. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be here today to speak and talk about the trip that you put us on in North Carolina. Thank you for the blessings we've been able to provide them, but also for them to provide for us. We thank the church body here for their prayers, for any of the financial provisions that we've received. Lord, thank you for giving us all that we needed while we were there, including ice cream. And thank you for the leadership here at the church to allow us to continue every year to serve, not just far away, but here at home. Lord, I thank you for all that you do and bless us each and every day. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Appreciate it.